There's no free lunch when it comes to investing. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Colin and Blair today. Blair, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And I know our listeners are too, because a few episodes ago, Blair, I did a solo episode, and I don't think anybody listened to that except my mom. So,
well, that's one.
That's one. One download.
Yeah.
But she probably told a few of her friends, so maybe there was three downloads.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually it'll catch up.
Yeah, sure.
That hidden gem that people missed.
Yeah, right. It'd be like those movies that like weren't any good in the box office, but then become cult hits later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the cult hit podcast. Episodes, whatever.
Yeah, 10 million. Yeah. Anyways, let's get back to why we're here. So why are we here? We're here to talk about financial planning and the importance of it. And because it is so important, we believe it's important. I have you joining me today, Blair is our director of financial planning and our subject matter expert at Canvas Wealth. And we thought it'd be important to start a mini series on all things financial planning related. So why don't you kick us off here, Blair?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we as a group here at Canvas Wealth, you know, believe that, you know, financial planning's really the backbone to anybody's financial success. So yeah, we put a lot of work on it, take it very serious, and we kind of build all our advice around it. You know, I thought today we'd go through and both of us will talk, you know, about, you know, 9 or 10 points on the financial planning plan, I guess.
Yeah.
Financial planning roadmap and why we think it's important. So kind of start from there and just really talk about, you know, financial planning. One thing we've heard is it turns money into a life tool.
Yeah.
And we can kind of start from there because, you know, the end of the day, you know, money is on its own is just numbers, and financial planning kind of connects money to values, goals, and life decisions, which, you know, we've been very vocal about separating. The old days of just, you know, hey, I want to buy a stock and hopefully that gets me retirement, I think are hopefully long gone. It's about setting up plans and roadmaps and check-ins and all the important stuff. So it kind of goes back to, you know, financial planning answers the real question is, what do I want my money to do for me? And so when investing is about returns, financial planning is about outcomes.
And how many times have people asked you, like, how much money do you need to retire?
You know, I couldn't even give you that number.
Yeah. But isn't the answer always like, well, it kind of depends, right? Depends on how much you plan on spending.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, it used to be a great soundbite. You get all the money sense. This is what you need to retire. How do you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I want to go to Europe 5 times a year.
Yeah, I just read an article in one of these online forums, and it was like, this is how much money you need to retire with. I was like, how can you say that? That's such a broad statement, right? Like, you don't know anything about me.
Yeah. It's what do they call it? Is that the term bait click or whatever?
Clickbait.
Oh, show my age there. Wow, this has all the answers on Instagram.
Yeah.
What we just talked about kind of flows into what I really like about financial planning is, you know, it replaces guesswork with clarity and perspective on your financial situation. So without a plan, people rely on just what we talked about, headlines, hot tips, gut feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be okay. And planning provides a framework for, you know, decisions, especially during uncertain times. You know, markets are going down, things feel rough. You know, where am I? You know, I had to maybe stop my monthly contributions or you get laid off. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of having a plan that has some sort of framework to it really makes how you move ahead and how you feel does add that clarity.
Sure.
And you move from reacting to markets to acting with intention. So clarity really, at the end of the day, reduces anxiety.
Can you imagine going on a trip with no plan, right? Like, I'm going to take a trip tomorrow. Where are you going? I don't know. How long are you gone for? Not sure. What are you going to see? I don't know. Have you packed? No, I hadn't thought about it, right? Isn't it kind of the same thing?
It's exactly the same thing. We used to use that analogy all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what should I be invested in? It's like, well, I think that's the wrong question. It's, you know, I'm going on vacation. Should I take a train, airplane, or boat? I don't know. Where are you going?
Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, planning does help people make better decisions, especially under stress. So the biggest financial mistakes that can happen during life transitions, things like during retirement, maybe the sale of a business. Unfortunately, we deal with a number of divorces and have over the last many years. Even inheritance, you know, the act of receiving an estate from a loved one or friend or something can change how you behave and what's ahead of you, right? And then what you mentioned, market downturns. Because as much as everybody wants to ignore the fact that markets are cyclical because they're just up right now, we keep reminding people that at some point they're going to sell off, right?
Yeah, and it's so much easier when you have a plan ahead of time and you kind of look at all these areas and have something in your back pocket, and, you know, in case you have to retire early or markets go down or divorce happens. Because, you know, people who do have those plans in place, man, it's so much easier on them because you're going through the roughest part of your time or life sometimes, or you see the market go down or, you know, you're transitioning, you know, one of the biggest life events you're going to have, transitioning into retirement. But if you have all the pieces in place, it just, that's out of the way. It's just living.
Yeah.
Whereas we're trying to give advice while it's happening and it becomes a lot tougher.
Sure. So that good plan is most valuable when emotions are least reliable is basically what I heard you say.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Planning aligns today's choices with tomorrow's freedom. So what does financial planning do? It does connect our spending and our saving. It connects our risk and security. It discusses and connects our lifestyle today and our independence later. Small decisions compound for better or worse. And I've thought about this in the health area too, Blair. You are the aggregate of all of the decisions that you make. So if that's a financial decision and you're frivolously spending, is that a word, frivolously? I think it is.
Sure is.
Yeah, frivolously spending on frivolous things and not keeping track of them, you know, buying a $10 item here and there probably isn't going to move the needle very much. But if you're doing that 15 times a day, every day, it probably makes a big difference, right? So same thing in health, like, you know, one cookie on its own probably won't do much to you. A dozen cookies a day for a month probably has a pretty big impact.
Yeah, I saw that over Christmas.
Yeah, you were spending $10 at a time or eating a dozen cookies?
We're going the cookie category. Yeah, a lot of treats. So you're just like, oh, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
I can have five more of these.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
They're small.
Yeah, I'll burn it off in January.
Yeah. Well, and so the key idea in this area is that freedom is built quietly over time and not suddenly at retirement. Like, you do not want to be that person that's 64 and three quarters, that's retiring at 65 and has no idea what your finances look like in 3 months.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was saying, you know, plan that was built 15 years ago. It's like, well, I'm ready for retirement. I just have to get used to it. You know, plan built 15 minutes ago is, yeah, there's a lot of tough choices here.
Yeah. All right. What's the next part?
Well, really kind of a continuation when we talk about is planning integrates the whole picture and not just the investment part. You know, true financial planning includes cash flow and spending, tax strategy, investment structure, risk management, insurance, estate and legacy planning. So, you know, in the past, we've talked about, you know, the pillars of finance, personal finance, and all of these are equally as important.
Sure.
Looking at it, not just the investment part. So optimizing one area in isolation, you know, can create problems elsewhere.
You know,
it's that Instagram advice. You should be doing this. Or it might cause tax implications or estate planning implications. So you want to have that overused term, but really holistic view of it. And that way you can get the right advice and know you're in the right asset mix and that you're not overspending and that you're going to have a comfortable retirement or you're being able to put the kids through school.
It drives me crazy when somebody's referred to us and the first thing they want to talk about is our model portfolio. Or their individual stock selections, whatever it might be, right? And I always try to say, like, hey, like, let's not put the cart before the horse here. You know, like, let's figure out how much risk you actually need to take before we get into should you own NVIDIA. By the way, we're not recommending NVIDIA or any other individual securities on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it is it's an education. You know, you've obviously come to us because this has not worked for you in the past, looking for advice. So let's try something different. Let's get a plan down. Let's just see where you stand.
Okay. What about behavior?
Behavior more than brilliance. So most people don't fail financially because they lack intelligence. They fail because of overconfidence, panic, inconsistency. So, you know, a plan creates discipline when discipline is hard, and discipline is hard.
Yeah. Especially when cookies are around at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough because, you know, behavior beats brilliance. It's not, hey, you know what? I have this great workout plan and I'm going to be at the gym every day and I got it down of how many reps I should do. And it's like, well, you got to go every day. That's the discipline part. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have this brilliant, you got to eat properly. That's part of the plan. It's you can't just have, you know, one thing in isolation.
Yeah.
So yeah, adding that discipline and based off the plan.
You know, I obviously follow a lot of people on LinkedIn and I have a lot of people to follow me, and somebody who I don't know, but who's obviously connected with me on LinkedIn posted somewhere around January 6th that they've started the new year off right. And this is the year they're going to lose all this weight and get healthy. And, you know, they've already done 4 workouts this year and they're really being diligent on what they're eating. And all I kept thinking is, it's January 6th.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have like, I don't know, 359 more days to go before the year is out.
Yeah.
And I posted back to them, like, I really hope that you follow this plan because it is a good plan, you know, but there is this thing called National Quitters Day that happens around, I think it's around January 9th.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Yep. You can look it up, Google it. Go on the Google box, ask for National Quitters Day, and it shows, like, I can't remember if it's like the second Friday in the new year is typically when most resolutions just fall off.
Well, yeah, and it is that, you know, is that plan appropriate for you? Kind of continuing what we had. So this person is read somewhere that this is what I need, and if I do this every day, but you know, part of the planning is, you know, well, what makes me happy?
Yeah.
Well, we talk about budgeting a bit, not to get off topic here, but you know, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to save X amount every year and I'm going to do this. But if you're sitting in your basement, life's going to be pretty crappy. So it's the same as, you know, going back to working out. Is this plan right for them? Like, what's made them fail in the past? So we talk about planning. We look at, you know, spending habits, and it doesn't mean, hey, it's really important that I get my coffee in the morning and spend money on that, or else I am just miserable. Okay, well, then that's part of the plan.
It's part of your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, what does planning do? It does create confidence, not just wealth. I mean, planning isn't about having the most money. It's about knowing that you're on track, your risks are understood, your family is protected. It does improve things like sleep, relationships, and life satisfaction. Because if you're not up late at night worrying about it all, you could probably sleep a little better, right? So that real return on planning, I think, is peace of mind.
Yeah. What makes you happy?
I mean, there's all the kinds of things that bring happiness and joy, but some of them are healthy for you and some of them aren't. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
moderation.
Yeah. What does planning do? It evolves as life evolves. It's what something you just brought up. So it's not static. That whole idea of, well, I'm going to do a financial plan and I'm going to know what to do for the rest of my life is just not true. You know, your plan has to adapt to things like career changes. Unfortunately, there might be a health event, family dynamics, we mentioned things like divorce, maybe there's new goals. So the value isn't just the plan that you created 5, 10, 15 years ago. It's about the ongoing planning process.
Yeah, it's that old quote, you know, plans are useless, but planning is essential. Well, let's talk about, you know, how planning helps people define enough. You know, without a plan, there's always more risk, more accumulation, more anxiety. You know, I need better returns. I need to take more risk. You know, I'm not saving enough or saving too much. So, you know, planning helps answers, you know, when do I have enough? What's the trade-off if I want more?
Yeah.
And knowing enough is one of the greatest forms of wealth.
Sure. I got a question about that too. And I've been thought about this a lot over the years. Like, what is enough? you know, because we're fortunate to work with some pretty wealthy people that obviously have enough. And even some of those people will fall prey to the trap of rate of return, right?
Yep.
And I don't know. I just thought, I often have this question, I mean, a theoretical question, like, what is enough? You know, because to me, enough is like, I can pay all my bills. My kids are looked after, right? I don't have to worry about my spending on a day-to-day basis. I can do the things I kind of like to do in the frequency I want to do it. And as long as that's all covered, is that enough?
You know, if it's behavior or philosophical question is, you know, what sounds kind of cheesy, but yeah, what makes you happy? Like, what void are you filling that I need more money? I can never retire. I need more. And a plan ideally shows that, hey, this is what you say you enjoy to do and
yeah,
you're going to be fine. And, but it is a big question because it's different for everybody. And you think that more is going to fill the void, you might be disappointed.
Actually, I had a meeting today with somebody who came in and they were asking me about what their dividend yield was on their portfolio. It's a question they've never asked before. I answered the question as best I could, but then I dug a little deeper and said, like, why are you focused on your dividend yield exactly? Because like, I kind of feel like I know where this question's coming from, but in your own words, can you just tell me? And the guy said, well, right after this meeting, as long as I can afford it, I'm going to go retire. Like today, I'm going to go give my papers and retire and give them 3 months notice. Or I was like, wow, that's amazing. He's like, well, I just want to make sure that I can afford it. And the interesting part was that you and I have actually already done a financial plan for these people. We've already pointed out financially that they can afford it, but it was just getting that reassurance that they had enough to do it.
That confidence level that, you know, am I going to be okay?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big question. All right. What about financial planning and intentional living, Blair?
So, yeah, I mean, that goes on the, you know, we've kind of talked about it earlier, but, you know, money touches every part of life, you know, time, family, work, freedom is a big part, and legacy. So financial planning ensures money supports life, not the other way around. It's a tool.
It's a tool. What is that? You work to live or live to work type of thing?
Yeah.
Like some people live to work. Some people just work to live.
Yeah. And it's finding, and I think the people when they talk about enough are the ones who, you know, are working to live. You know, they know what makes them tick. You know, money's a tool that's, you know, helping them get to where they want to be. And ideally, I think most people are happier when it's like that. And I think a plan helps add that clarity and perspective so that you're going to be fine. Everything you want to do, you're on pace for.
Yeah.
And then you can start working to live.
Yeah, because the other big commodity that's not touched on in this list is, well, it is a bit, but is the cost of your time, right? So having the freedom to have the time to do the things that you want to do that bring you happiness and joy, knowing that you have enough, having gone through a bunch of different transitions already in your life, I mean, I don't know if you can put a number around that cost of time. I mean, I guess you can, but it's hard to.
Yeah, it is. You know, freeing up time to, you know, just, you know, go for a bike ride on a Saturday or a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of talk about with your kids. I know you and I are the same where you kind of prioritize trying to spend as much time with your kids as possible. I mean, mm-hmm. Work full time or busy, but you've kind of, hey, I'm going to coach and I'm going to volunteer. And so those are important things that you're trying to free up time for. But we know other people who just like, oh, I just don't have time for that. I got too much work.
Yeah.
Just like, well, you're missing out.
Well, there's always work, you know, there's always work to be done. And I don't want to downplay that, but I mean, I can tell you if my son or daughter were to call me right now and say, do you want to go do something? I'd probably hit stop on this recording and I would go hang out with them. And it's not because this recording isn't important. It's that they're of an age that I know my time with them is very limited. I know we're getting really philosophical now. Yeah. And I don't want to miss out on that, right? I feel like I missed out on some of that when they were younger, when we were working hard and building a business, but getting to a point where those times when they ask you to do something are getting more rare.
Yeah, exactly. Is it the cat in the cradle?
Oh, yeah. I know that song very well. You know, the funny thing is my dad, we had a record player growing up, and I have a record player now, and he used to play that Cat Stevens song. I think it's Cat Stevens. Is
it? I can't remember who sings it.
Yeah, Cat in the Cradle. Yeah. He used to play that song, and my dad was always busy when I was growing up, just because, you know, single parent, working, etc. And I always thought about that song, and he got rid of a bunch of his records, and I took that record from him. I have that at my house, and I'll play it once in a while. You know, it's funny, that cycle of life that you go through from the start of a career to maybe the peak of a career and going into a future transition, and you start looking back at, like, the lyrics of that song. It's depressing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Just in the time of life you're, hey, I got time. It's like, yeah, I'm busy, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, financial planning is about, it, you know, it's not about predicting future, but it's about preparing for it. So you can kind of, you know, live well today. And again, knowing that, you know, you don't have that anxiety that, you know, I got to work 24 hours and I have to keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, well, let's see if we can ease that stress from you.
Sure.
Or you can do the things that matter.
And you don't need tens and tens of millions of dollars to do that, right? I mean,
unless you're Elon Musk.
Well, I mean, he's got like 22 kids to cover child care payments for.
Small city.
Yeah. That's a whole other world.
Yeah.
That's well, listen, thanks for being on the show, Blair. As always, it's always great to have a subject matter expert to fill this gap for us, because planning is super important. I know a lot of people want us to do episodes on what stock to buy, or, you know, what's going to happen in the market, or et cetera.
Well, we'll do that next week.
And next week we'll tell you which stock to buy.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, it's a good one.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah, you're going to want to tune in. All right. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast, hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing, or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, an exempt market dealer. Canvas is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals, and they have not been approved by, and are not necessarily those of, Q Wealth as a firm. This is not legal, accounting, tax, or investment advice, and should not be relied as such.